What is up, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Apple, Spotify, and everyone tuned in on the Texas Sports Unfiltered app? Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK live on Texas Sports Unfiltered and on the free TSU app. Today is Friday, January 2nd, 2026, and the Buck and I are with you for the next 2 hours. On today's show, the Longhorns took care of business against Michigan in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. We'll give our biggest takeaways from the 41-27 victory. We've got some post-game sound from Steve Sarkisian and Arch Manning, and we'll discuss what it means for the future of Texas football. Speaking of the future of Texas football, the transfer portal officially opened today. Will we see more departures for the Longhorns? We saw one last night. Will we see some additions become official today? We will preview what's to come over the next 15 days while the portal is open. We will recap the quarterfinal round of the college football playoff. Some major upsets over the last couple of days, and the Final Four is set. We also have the final weekend of the NFL regular season coming up, and trouble in paradise. Is Bucky's girl leaving him for another man? We'll get to all of that and so much more. It is our first show of the new year. A belated happy new year to each and every one of you out there. Hope everyone had a happy and healthy and safe holiday. And we appreciate y'all starting your Friday morning with us. Happy new year. Happy Friday, my man. How are you today?
I'm doing good, man. Same thing to you, Columbus, man. Good to be back. I know it's got to be good to be back in this type of weather that we're having here. It's just been fabulous. Lots of sun. You'll get lots of sun again today. Over the next couple of days, it's going to be sunny and nice and bright, and no snow on the ground around this place, which is I'm thankful for, you know, for 2026. What a great start. You can have all that snow you want, all that white Christmas and, you know, nice new year in your sled. You can have it all. No, thank you. Out in shorts yesterday. It's a good thing, and it's a good year, and some great football over the weekend.
Yeah, I felt like I was gone for 3 weeks, and I was gone for 3 days. I was so excited to get back to my place last night. I usually don't have that. There's usually like sometimes when you get back from a trip, there's like a little bit of a letdown. It's like, back home, back to reality, back to work. I was pretty pumped to get back to my place last night.
Well, I bet.
Yeah, it's cold up there. You know, I like the snow, but coming back to what we have weather-wise this weekend here in Austin, Texas, I will take that 10 times out of 10.
No doubt, man. No doubt. How did everything in the ceremony go? Good? Did the Buckeye fans, were they okay?
It was a morgue in that place for a while.
You see what they did? You see what those two did by being married on that day?
Oh, man. Well, it's funny because the groom was a Buckeye, but the bride was a Wolverine. So both of their teams lost. Obviously, with Texas taking out Michigan earlier in the day, the stakes not nearly as high in that one. There are some Michigan fans who are a little bit bummed out because of the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. And then, yeah, obviously, with the wedding in Columbus, just a few miles away from the campus of the Ohio State University, the groom, towards the end of the game, he addressed the crowd, as a groom typically does on his wedding night, and he's started a Fire Ryan Day chant.
My God.
Those are Buckeye fans, you know? They won the national championship last year, but hey, that was last year. What have you done for me lately? Oh, you lost tonight? We got to get rid of you. So for a while, it was pretty touch and go there. But, you know, everyone thankfully put it behind them and was able to celebrate. I think it was for the best, as that game, it wasn't that close. Like,
no.
People kind of knew for a lot of that night that Miami was the better team than Ohio State. But it
they manhandled them. They threw them all over the place. Yeah. The offensive line, the defensive line, they couldn't keep that defense, those two guys on the outside, off the quarterback. But their offensive line was just mauling those guys.
Yeah, that right tackle is so good. He's going to be top 10 pick in the NFL draft here in a few months. And, you know, it begs the question, right? It's a long time debate in sports, the rest versus rust. We've now had 2 years of this 12-team college football playoff, And the teams with the first round byes are now 1-7 in their first playoff games. Indiana, the only team to win. They had no problem with the rest. They ran all over Alabama yesterday in that Rose Bowl beatdown. But yeah, Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas Tech, the other three teams who sat out the first round of the CFP, they all are going home.
Come on, Joey McGuire. How about a little offense?
What a showing.
That was awful. That was absolutely awful. And you felt that in like the first 15 minutes of the game. It was like, oh my God, this group is about to get just destroyed by Oregon. They somehow throwing a team all over the place and doing anything they wanted to, run game, passing game. That was not a money look, Texas Tech.
No.
You forgot to buy your offense. You bought a nice defense, but sorry.
Yeah,
you need to go get some work done on the offensive part.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? All the talk going into the game was about the Texas Tech defense, but it was the Oregon defense that was the story, pitching a shutout and that 23-0 win. So we'll talk all about all four of these quarterfinals, and we'll start to preview the semifinals.
No doubt, man. It was an awful lot. There was some good football. There was some. I'm not going to call it bad football, but there was some rust, and there was some questionable decisions made throughout the game. And Miami head coach didn't have to make any because his team was just better than Ohio State, no doubt about it. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you. We love what you did for us in 2025. We're going to love what you do for us in 2026 and so forth and so forth. And so we will just go on. And we do appreciate what you do for us, EMS workers, police officers, everybody that's there to help all of us. Thank you so very much. And do be safe out there.
Yes, indeed. Well said, as always, my friend. And yeah, so much football to talk about, but kind of want to dive into Texas's win over Michigan a little more before we go back into the college football playoff. Buck, your biggest takeaway, the Longhorns take down Michigan 41-27. Very entertaining game. You could tell both teams wanted to be there. You could tell both teams wanted to win. This was a 17-17 game at halftime. The Longhorns actually trailed 27-24 early in the fourth quarter, but Texas ended the game on a 17-0 run to take control and pull away from Michigan. They did it mainly on the shoulders of their quarterback, Arch Manning, who was the best player on the field for either side by far in Orlando. Your biggest thoughts and your biggest takeaways from the Longhorns finishing the 2025 season with a W?
My biggest takeaway is the fact that they've got an opportunity to build around an unbelievable young quarterback who has taken time to mature. They've done everything the right way. Some people disappointed to where Texas ended up. They own Michigan, so we know that. They own that state. But I think to watch the quarterback mature, and there were people that were just going to give up on this guy and thought he wasn't very good, just put the proper pieces around him. He now understands the offense. He understands when it's time to leave the pocket, when to go, what he can do with his feet. You know, he's throwing balls. There's still receivers that need to learn how to catch. You told me that their wide receiver coach is coming back. Maybe get to some fundamentals of some of these guys, because if they could catch the ball like we saw wide receivers do over the weekend, this dude could have had about 350 yards of total offense. Guys are just dropping simple balls. There's some things that just need to be done. If they get a potent enough run game, and you can see the run game was there. I mean, the offensive line, there were holes. I mean, there were truly holes in the run game this weekend. I was like, wait a minute, it's not the runner that's doing all these. I mean, there's actual holes that Christian Clark got a chance to go through. He's still an okay back. He's not the answer. I still don't believe he's not the answer. They don't have the answer yet. He's a nice backup to somebody that, if you find one, I think you'll be okay. I think the offensive line has improved over the last month and a half of the football season, which was really surprising. I just thought they would be the same kind of group. You know, you'd have to have a dynamic running back, but they really matured a little bit. They found some guys that, as I said, there were holes, BK. That was the most surprising thing to me. There were actually holes in the run game. There weren't like the running back had to make great plays. There were some actual holes. That's why I thought if they got a really better runner, there was really big plays to be made in the run game. They made enough, but the quarterback, If you turn your back to him when he runs, you got a problem.
Yeah, he's fast.
And yes, he is.
That's my biggest takeaway from the game is just Arch Manning is really good, and you need to maximize this window
absolutely
that you have with number 16 as your quarterback. And it's very likely only one more year that this window will be open. But he was phenomenal against a pretty solid Michigan defense that had 9 of its 11 starters from the regular season. And the defensive coordinator was pretty much the only coach who was still there from the regular season. And Arch Manning with his arm and with his legs just carved up that Michigan defense. And one of the best bowl game performances we've ever seen from a Texas player. And with all the chaos going on around him, I mean, you know, 4 running backs opting out of the game. Obviously a receiver opting out of the game. And then Ryan Wingo and Emmett Mosley both going down with injuries during the game. And the drop problems and all of the opt-outs on defense, which led to some inconsistencies on that side of the football in the first 3 quarters. You know, it kind of felt like if Texas was going to win and you had Arch Manning as your offensive player of the game during our pregame show, kind of felt like if the Longhorns were going to take care of Michigan, it was going to be because Arch had a really good day. And he did just that, Buck. I mean, he was incredible.
And it could have been even the thing. It could have been even better. That's you know what. Yeah. And I now I go back and look at the year, and I'm like, what took you so long to get those young receivers in football games? There are plenty of opportunities during the course of the year to have had them in some really key games that they would have got some really meaningful snaps. There are a couple of them that are pretty good. I was like, wait a minute.
I only saw one of them. I don't know who the couple of them were because Dalen McCutcheon was the guy
he was a dropper.
Right. That was the guy who we heard the most about. You know, he was the lowest rated of the 4 wide receiver signees that Texas brought in 2025.
Yeah. And I saw that in the game.
Right. But he was the guy that apparently learned the playbook the fastest and adapted to the speed of the college game the fastest. I mean, that guy played against Ohio State way back in week 1. And actually had a catch against the Buckeyes. So he plays the slot, similar position to DeAndre Moore. So it's like, okay, here's your opportunity, Dalen McCutcheon. Go make something happen. And like you said, I mean, the drops, he just 1 catch for 4 yards. He was targeted a few times and just couldn't hold on to the football.
Yeah, he looked nervous in the game. He looked like a nervous, like a freshman that was really nervous in a game like that against a Michigan team. They weren't great on defense, but the moment was really big for him. I mean, he played an Ohio State game. Maybe he didn't have time to be nervous in that game, but he looked like he had time to think about this one. And as the balls were coming to him, his hands were going sideways. And I'm like, oh my God, dude. But the other guys who got opportunities, I thought to the kid French, he's got a chance because he's got some speed. He's got a little bit of speed. And it just seemed like if those guys were so good, that recruiting class, you could have got a couple more that needed to be prepared for that. But it was good to see them get their opportunity. I liked it. I like what I saw from there. There's a future for a couple of those dudes. The running back room, you got work, because if you think you're going to make that big, tall kid Terry into a running back, you better think about that. I saw him take 1 carry. I saw him in a game for a couple of plays. He looked nervous, and that's it. I mean, he's in a big-time game for his first time. He should be a little nervous. But you gave him the ball on, I think it was a 3rd and like half yard to go. He just – balled up. He turned into a little ball, like a exercise ball, and ran into the pile and curled up. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? They need a yard. They need you, a big tall guy like you, to get some lean. And he curled up and fell down to the ground. Christian Clark made a big move, I thought, in that game. He's still not the guy that's going to take you. He'd be a very fine backup. But he had opportunities for some big plays. He made things happen a couple times. BK, when it wasn't there, he did a couple things on his own. But he's not a home run hitter. I saw him run right into the back of a lineman on those short yardage play too. Didn't let it develop enough. He ran right into his ass and went right down on the ground. And I'm like, come on, man, slow down a little bit. You know, obviously his being a starter, his motor was going really fast. This is my opportunity. And damn, if they didn't give him a couple holes, you know. But I just don't think he can crease those holes like that. He's got some power when he runs.
Yeah.
You know, he finishes strong, but they need to go to the portal and find a guy, because him with another guy, it would be a nice combo, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Christian Clark was really auditioning for the number 1 running back job at Texas next year. I think he was auditioning for the number 2 running back job at Texas next year.
Which means, where's the freshman? I mean, The guy that somebody else is leaving today, I believe.
Well, I think a few more guys are leaving today. I mean, we saw Parker Livingston, who played a bunch this year and played a bunch in the game a couple of days ago, announced that he's leaving last night. So,
yeah, Darby thinks he can go make some money somewhere.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Texas has a couple of good receivers coming back, and we know they're in the market for at least one more in the portal. So,
sure.
You know, we'll get to Livingston's decision in more depth a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, Texas is still in the market for a running back, and I don't know if Jaden Ball is going to enter the portal. I heard from a source yesterday that Ball is getting paid close to $2 million. I should say getting offered close to $2 million to stay at Florida.
I'm not leaving Florida. Even if I don't have a quarterback, you can turn around and I can get pummeled. He's one of those dudes that, you know, we saw a couple of receivers over the weekend that they don't even have to play, just don't even play next year, and they're going. A kid from Ohio State doesn't have to play a down of football.
Right.
Just go hang out at the park and, you know, enjoy walking around Columbus and don't even play. And that would be on my mind if I was him. I may not even show up in Austin. I may just go sit out the year and make some, you know, and work out. He's unbelievable. They've got a couple guys, I think, that I saw over the weekend that could do that kind of thing. But
you don't make your NIL money if you do that. That's why you don't do that. Like, you know, back in the day when you weren't getting paid in college, it would make sense for a guy like Jeremiah Smith to maybe sit out a year to prevent injury and just get his body right for the league. But now you don't cash in on the millions of dollars that you could cash in on. So,
yeah, I mean, once again, it depends on how much these guys have already gotten that are in their bank. Do they still have, are there still payments to be made?
Yeah, shit. If I get $3 million, I'm not sitting out a year.
Well, yeah. I mean, if that's what they're going to give him for that last year, I'd be very careful because he's got a chance to make unbelievable amounts of money. And all he needs is one knucklehead that's ready to try to take him out, which would be difficult to do. He's such a big body dude, man. He is unreal.
Good player. He's a very good player. I'd love for him.
I'm just trying my best not to have him show up in Austin. I'm trying to have him go work out next year.
Yeah, bring him to Austin to play for the Longhorns, you know, to play against Ohio State in that week.
Well, I would say somebody's going to want to come and play with Arch Manning. I got to believe there's a receiver out there, a big timer, that doesn't want to go back to where he is.
Again, you got to maximize this window because the window to win is as open as it's been in a while around here because of Arch Manning. So, you know, the priority over the next 15 days, the portal officially opens today, and it's open through January 16th. And this is sort of your only time to bolster your roster. Remember, there is no post-spring portal window this year. That's a change from 2025 to 2026. I know there is that second National Signing Day coming up in February, but number one, there aren't a lot of players who haven't signed from the high school ranks. And number two, most of those guys aren't going to help you win now. So
yeah,
focused on winning in 2026, which is what all of the talk has been around. Has been about around here over the last few weeks since the win over Texas A&M way back on Black Friday, then you've got to take advantage of what's about to happen. I mean, there's already more than 1,000 players in the portal, Buck, and it officially opened at midnight. So that number is going to go up. There's a bunch of impact players on both sides of the ball, and the hope is Texas has a plan and they are ready to go to bring in some difference makers for 2026.
Yeah, I thought they played well enough. The guys in the secondary were okay in the game. I thought the defense, you know, I thought the defense was fine. I'm not impressed by Michigan's quarterback. Like I said, he's still got some maturing to do. Arch Manning has been around college football for 3 years. This kid's a first-year player. He'll get better. I mean, he has all the ability to get better if they surround him with the right people. But for this football team in general, I think an all-in is what you're looking for. But the big all-in to me is how good is the defense going to be, you know, with a new defensive coordinator. Because the offensive, the guy who calls the play on offense, he's got the piece to the puzzle, really, at quarterback. Now, what kind of coach is he going to be? Because that team is still one of the dumbest teams in college football. You know, I was looking for them to have – I gave them 8 penalties. That group ended up with 12 penalties for over 100 yards. That's the dumbest team. They do the dumbest things you've ever – you can't win a national championship like that. You can't. You may be able to make it to the finals on talent, but you can't win a really, really big game. You're going to get into a big game, and those stupid penalties they get – 12 penalties in a game, Now, remember I told you, I said, I know they're going to have 12. I said, they're going to have 12 to 14 penalties. I know it's just time off. You're going to have a little bit more than you generally have because your team is dumb anyway.
They are dumb. That was also a really poorly officiated game. I mean, the refs were throwing flags on everything. Michigan had nine penalties for 90-something yards themselves.
Throughout the weekend, officials let players play. They let them hand check. They let them hand fight. Receivers, I thought defensive backs, I thought that was fun to watch. It was like, hey, go for the ball. You get it. Whatever you got to do to make the receiver not get it. They were tugging on jerseys. They were letting them play. They were grabbing arms. But guys are making great catches. But in this game, my goodness.
Yeah, not in this one.
You can't let the dummies go wild. I mean, if Sark is going to do something and be the head coach guy now, he can pay attention. He needs to pay attention to that. That can't be again.
Yeah, you've heard of girls gone wild. Now dummies gone wild.
Oh, my goodness.
What we saw in that game. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a problem all year, right? The officials were not good in the game, but anybody who watched or kept up with this Longhorn football team all year knows that the penalties were a problem from week one. And now that the season is not officially over, obviously there's four teams left and three important games left to be played. But I just pulled up the updated penalties per game ranking in college football.
Oh no! Please don't tell me they've gone up.
The Longhorns, following their 12 infraction performance against Michigan, 135th out of 136 teams.
That's embarrassing for a team that has that kind of talent. That's okay. Now I understand why the coach made the change. That's it. That's the reason. Now he can pay more attention. That should be one of his focal points. I'm going to pay more attention to these guys grabbing and clutching and holding and doing whatever it is. Because now they have a reputation. I mean, that gets to the officials. And believe me, the other head coach says, you know, this is one of the most penalized teams in America. This is how they do there. This is what they do. I mean, that, you can't have that as one of your monikers. That doesn't go well.
8.3 penalties per game. The only team with more this season, the Rockets of Toledo.
Oh my God. They got a win too over the. Didn't they get their win?
No, they just covered. They did not win.
They're a great team because they cover.
They cost you some units. Yeah, but it's not the first year, right? Texas was 94th in the country in penalties last year, even though they played for an SEC title and made it to the semifinal round of the CFP. And they were 99th in the country in penalties in 2023 when they won the Big 12 and played in the semifinals of the CFP. So, yeah, it's a problem. It's been a problem, but obviously it got worse this year. And wow. You're right, that's one of those things that not only do you hope change, but it's one of those things that needs to change.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the young offensive line Baker have a couple holes. I saw him, I mean, with a vice grip on guys. You just, at one point, you have to let go. You just have to let go of the jersey. Just, they're right in your, they're right there where you are out there. So if you've got it, let it go. Fall on the ground. Maybe the guy have to come over you, but you can't take him to the ground with you.
Yeah. Some offensive line penalties, some defensive penalties, some special teams penalties. I mean, look, it's, you know, some of it you could chalk it up to being down more than 20 scholarship players.
And bowl game, and it's, you missed out on, you know, you've been back and forth, you've been home, you've been to practice. I mean, it's a bowl game. Like I said before when we did the pregame show, I said, you're going to get that anyway. They've been away from football long enough. My worry was, were they going to hit guys? Were guys going to come through the line and guys are going to pass out and faint? Well, they didn't. They struck guys. They tried to get as physical as they could get. But the dumb penalties are coaches go crazy over that stuff. And now Sark, now he's got time. Remember, he's got time now.
Right. The coach didn't go crazy enough on those penalties, clearly.
No, he did.
They were not addressed. But, yeah, I know, something Steve Sarkisian talked about in his post-defensive coordinator change press conference, saying he'll have more time to focus on the offense because he's going to let Will Muschamp focus on the defense. So the hope is, all right, you get an upgrade at defensive coordinator, so that'll fix the defensive penalties, and now your offensive-minded head coach can spend all of his time focusing on the offense, so that will fix the offensive penalties. And we'll figure out special teams
We know special teams got to have a kicker because that dude who was kicking off, that looked like me in high school with a square toe trying to get the ball. He couldn't get it out of the end zone. He couldn't get it off the ground. Was that just a walk-on kicker that they just found somewhere?
Yeah, Spencer Barnett, second year player on the team. You know, and Texas didn't have its full complement of kickoff players too. So, you know, it's affected with all of the opt-outs and all of the portal departures. Some of your guys who you normally have on kickoff team were not there. So it's a different group from what you had during the 12-game regular season. So your coverage was obviously not as good. But, yeah, you'd like to find a kicker who can boot the ball out of the back of the end zone, because that continued to get Texas the other day. Michigan had short field after short field after short field because of those kickoffs.
But I did like the offensive line play. I'll say this. Those guys have come together in a way that I was thinking they just don't have enough time to do it. I know it was the whole course of the year. I should say they had a whole year to do it, and they knew who they had available. But you know what? They did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Yeah, all things considered. You know, it did help that Michigan was without its best two edge rushers. I think
that does help for the pressure on the outside. Yeah, they had good communications, I said. And there were holes in the run game. There were actual holes to be run through.
But still, I mean, those were the only two opt-outs. Like, Texas had way more opt-outs than Michigan did in this football game. Michigan only had three. They had two edge rushers and their left guard opt-out. Everybody else played in that football game for them. All of their defensive tackles, their linebackers, like, that's a pretty salty rush defense that Texas was able to gash for 235 yards on the ground. Also, zero sacks. Now, some of that was Arch Manning just being Houdini back there in the pocket. It's not like the pass protection was amazing all game.
No, they flushed him the wrong way. They flushed him up the middle with nobody in the middle, and he took advantage of that.
But, yeah, you know, it was one of the better performances of the year for the offensive line. And, you know, it's a decision that's going to be criticized until the end of time, right? Like, why did it take so long for Sark and Kyle Flood to find this five up front?
Like,
it's clearly the best five that they had. You know, you go back to the losses. Week one, I guess you give them a bit of a free pass because it's the first game of the season and you're replacing four starters from 2024, so you're not entirely sure what you had. But that Florida game where the offensive line was just atrocious and you're throwing out all sorts of guys at left guard and Arch Manning is running for his life and you're not running the football at all. Like, you had a bye week. That was game five of the season. That's obviously a game that kept you out of the playoff. Like, why were you not doing more to figure this out by then?
Yeah, I was more disappointed in the kid Baker, because he had started to get a little bit better. He started to gain some experience, but he took kind of a step back in that game. I thought he was just lazy. I thought he was lazy with his feet. So he did a lot of clutch and grab. And he had a couple that they didn't call, BK, that they let him get away with, you know. But once again, the officials, I told you, they want to be on TV too. They got their time, did they not?
They got their time. Yeah, Brandon Baker, by the way, the second highest graded offensive lineman for Texas in that game. Now, that's PFF grades. I trust your eyes.
I just thought he got away with some stuff. But, one thing he did in the run game, he was really good. In the pass game, he got lazy feet, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the problem with that, you know, I mean, Baker's good. Gooseby, we'll see what he says. He obviously has a big decision to make regarding his future, but we're talking about the offensive line coming together. Hey, that's great. They came together in time for a couple of those guys to leave, because, you know, DJ Campbell's out of eligibility. Cole Hudson's out of eligibility. Those are your two guards right there. So, you know, at minimum, you're going to need two new starters up front, and I think Texas should be going after at least three offensive linemen in the portal. So they'll have to do some of this musical chairs and some of this, you know, trying to figure it all out this off season. Cause overall, I mean, more often than not, the Georgia game happened after the change, right? So it's not like it was all perfect after they found this combination of five. Sure. They still had their struggles. So they've got to be better up front. That is a huge priority for this team for sure.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, we talk about a running back. They have to fix the offensive line going into this guy's last year. He's too good. He's too valuable. You got to protect him. You know, he has that sixth sense right now of when to take off and go. He's truly reading the defense. He's reading the linebackers. If they're out of place, he's going to go. He's a big, strong guy. He's going to get your first downs. He's going to make your run game look fantastic. 155 yards of rushing in the game.
155.
Wow.
Buck, he hit 21.7 miles per hour on that 60-yard touchdown run. That's the fastest any quarterback has ran in college football this season. Not just Arch has run, not the fastest in bowl season, the fastest max speed any quarterback in America had this season was Arch Manning on that dagger touchdown run.
Yeah, and he gets to the corner and he beats guys to the corner. They don't trip him up. He gets around guys. That's just incredible with his speed and his size that he can get around a nimble linebacker, you know what I'm saying, or a secondary, a safety that comes up. He gets right around those dudes.
Or he'll break an arm tackle, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't tackle him in the legs. You got a problem. You know, if you trip him on his ankles, he may fall and go forward for another 8 yards, but you don't just bring him down by the legs.
Yeah, he's a special talent. All right, more on Arch, more on the win over Michigan, more on what Texas needs to do in the portal. We've got some sound from Arch Manning and Steve Sarkisian as well from their post-game press conferences. But before we dive back into the Longhorns, Buck, how about our first round of sponsor shout-outs?
Good to our friends at Woods Comfort Systems, folks. Be ready. It's going to be warm. Hopefully that air conditioner is going to crank back up for you. Yeah, BK was in the heat. He needed heat where he was. But right now, we don't need it. We don't need our heaters to come on yet. We just still need that air conditioning. Make sure that air conditioning system is working properly. So calling our friends at Woods Comfort Systems, close to 70 years in Central Texas. They've been doing fantastic work, whether it's heating, whether it's air conditioning, and now they do plumbing. If you've got plumbing problems, if you've had the relatives over during the holidays and they've stuffed up the toilet or screwed up the bathroom or left water running, please call in our friends at Woods Comfort Systems. Nobody does it better.
No, they do not. WoodsComfortSystems.com is their website, or you can give them a call, 512-842-5066. Make sure you tell them you heard about them on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Check out what I have this morning.
Ooh, cherry cola.
Cola Olipop. Yep.
Yeah, you need some good stuff because I'm pretty sure you weren't drinking enough Olipop over the weekend. Were you just getting to the weekend?
I know it's very confusing, right? With all the football we just watched,
it's like it's Monday.
Yeah, we had a couple of days off of work. We did our pregame show 2 days ago. Like it feels like it's Monday. There's no better feeling than a Friday that feels like a Monday because we're about to have the weekend here. But over my New Year's, it's an open bar. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Buck? Yeah, you're supposed to take advantage of that open bar.
Hey, man, that's what I did. But shout out to Olipop. Look, it's the new year. Everyone's got their resolutions. And for so many people around the world, being healthier is a New Year's resolution. It's not easy being healthy, right? Working out sucks. Eating healthy sucks. That's the beauty of Olipop. They make it easy because this tastes just like a cherry cola, and every Olipop flavor tastes just like a soda. But unlike the sodas you were drinking last year, this stuff is actually good for you. Prebiotics, botanicals, plant fibers, words that I'm dumb enough, or I'm too dumb to know. I can't even get through that sentence. That's how dumb I am. But I don't know what the stuff is. I just know this stuff supports digestive health. 9 grams of fiber in every can. So if you are looking for the easiest New Year's resolution to keep in 2026, make it drinking Olipop. Get you some wherever you buy your groceries. It is Olipop.
Yeah, I would say this, BK, watching the game too, brother, that you know the coverage that we saw from Texas secondary, you were going to get soft coverage. You were going to get, you know, their corners back because they had too many, they had a lot of new guys, a lot of new people there. Yep. You did not want to go in that game and have a team like Michigan beat you over the top. So I kind of understood that, you know, let them catch and rally. I thought they rallied real well. I thought they tackled okay. It was still kind of the same. You know, you're looking at 3rd and 12 and 3rd and whatever at times, and guys are back 14 yards. I'm like, what in the hell?
Yeah.
Get up there. Now you knew they weren't going to be press coverage. It's too soon for all of that stuff. You know, you got to play the defense that you're used to playing, and their defense in the secondary on the corner side is moving back instead of moving up. And so you're going to get that. I mean, I think certain things you had to expect from the defense.
Excuse me, Buck. Yeah, you saw one final time why, at least part of the reason why Steve Sarkisian is making the move from PK to Coach Boom.
Yes.
Right? He didn't like the soft coverage. He didn't like the soft zone. He didn't like the, you know, free releases that wide receivers would constantly get.
Oh, my God. Just get off the line free.
And, you know, Coach Boom's been at practice with the team during bowl season, but obviously it was Johnny Nansen coordinating the defense. So, like you said, just not enough time to totally change the way you run a defense just over a month between the Aggie game and this Michigan game.
But they were willing. They were tackling. They were willing tacklers. And I was always thinking, you know, when you go to a bowl game like that, it's go have a good time, see Mickey Mouse and all that stuff and head to Epcot Center and all that. Are you going to get into that game and really want to tackle? It's been a long season in the SEC. And they were willing guys. There were a bunch of guys willing to throw their face in there. I thought they did a good job. They did. That's a good coaching job right there, getting those guys to want to tackle.
Yeah, and part of the secondary struggles too. I mean, a lot of opt-outs, right? No Michael Taft. Yeah,
communications, you're right.
Yeah, no Michael Taft, no Manny Muhammad, who's your number one corner, no Jalen Gilbo, who was your number two corner for a lot of the season. So you had some new faces in there. Kobe Black got hurt during that game, so you were rotating guys in and out, and I think that contributed to some of the, you know, breakdowns.
Well, actually, you're probably missing four or five guys in your secondary that played all year. That's good. That's pretty good right there by them.
Yeah, and they turned it on when they needed to, right? I mean, Michigan had a lot of success in the first three quarters. They had 27 points in the first three quarters, right? 20 points, and they scored a touchdown early on in the fourth, but Texas bowed up. And, you know, you talk about complimentary football, right? Something every coach in America talks about. The Longhorns had a six-drive sequence in the fourth quarter where, you know, they were down 27-24, and then they went touchdown, interception, touchdown, interception, field goal, turnover on downs. So it was the offense finding a rhythm, putting the ball into the end zone. It was the defense coming up with takeaways and fourth down stops. That's how you turn a three-point deficit into a 17-point lead and ultimately a 17-point victory. So, yeah, the defense had its struggles. They were down seven starters. They were down a defensive coordinator. They were down a defensive backs coach, expected. But when they needed to step up the most, Buck, they got physical. They bowed up on the back end. And you know, they had
Your quarterback was sensational.
Right. And they had three interceptions of their quarterback. And, you know, I wonder if the refs weren't such big Bryce Underwood fans. I mean, his first touchdown pass, we're really overturning that, saying that that receiver got a knee or a shin or a toe in the corner of the end zone.
You know what? I thought the call was good, but to overturn it was that was too shaky. That shin and that toe, it wasn't like the toe hit, then the shin. The shin was almost before the toe hit came down.
Right. And all the talk, I mean, all we've heard is you have to have conclusive evidence.
That was not conclusive to me.
No. So I was surprised by that. And then, you know, Bryce Underwood's rushing touchdown where he reached the ball out and touched the pylon. He was fumbling the ball before he hit the pylon. That should have been a touchback. All the announcers and the officiating expert that they had on the broadcast, they were like, oh, that ball's coming loose. That should be a touchback in Texas's ball. Yet not enough evidence to overturn that one. We got to give Michigan this score. So, yeah, I mean, Bryce Underwood made some mistakes, but shoot, his stat line was inflated by the refs and the replay center just saying, you know what, we want this to be a good game. So, Michigan, we'll give you these touchdowns. You're welcome.
Yeah, and then they had to have their new coach in the damn press box. I had to listen to that guy for like half of the fourth quarter. I'm like, okay, say a couple words and go sit back down, will you?
Yeah, Whittingham, they had that long interview during the telecast. And Whittingham's a very good coach, but he's not the best interview. I mean, he doesn't have the most personality out there. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a bowl game. It's a non-playoff bowl game. So that's what you get when you're not in the CFP.
I got everything. I thought it was done well, with the exception of my expectations were, yes, they're still going to have 12 penalties. This team is dumb. Why do I think all of a sudden they're going to go away for a month and then come back and be smarter? They're not.
Buck, there's a New Year's resolution for the Texas football team. Clean up the penalties.
Yeah, let's play smart football. There's something for you. How about a year of smart football starting from when you start winter workouts, going over film and saying, yep, we got to clean that up. Yep, we got to clean this up. You just have to. I mean, because if you're trying to win a championship, everybody knows where you rank. All the opposing coaches, they're going to be in everybody's ear that you play against. Yeah, they do it too. I understand. You know, as people are going to say, well, the other team, oh, yeah, I got that. But you now have a reputation of being one of the dumbest teams in America.
Right. Maybe save some of your NIL money for the officials next year. You know,
now you're talking. Yeah. Not enough. Those AV consultation televisions. That didn't go around enough. They need more. The officials need more.
Yeah. Look, the officials don't get paid a ton, right? Those guys aren't full-time employees. A lot of them have other jobs, so they could use some extra money. So I'm not saying millions of dollars. I'm saying before each game, here you go, ref. Here's a nice $10,000 check.
Oh, not look at that. That's not. Put a little bit of that. Leave it in your locker.
That's chump change.
How did that get in my locker?
Yeah, anonymous tip.
My goodness. Buddy.
That kind of tip, you know? Like, yeah, let's go. Whatever we have to do to get some calls.
The officials go over and get a drink, and you lift up the Gatorade deal. There'll be a floating envelope right there with your name on it. Pick it up, put it in your pocket, let's go.
How about that? Maybe a Foot Locker gift card. They're dressed for the place anyways, you know? Whatever it takes.
A lot of guys got – I saw the boys from the Big 12 officiating group got plenty of airtime too. Your favorite guy, the head official.
Oh, Kevin Marr was officiating one of the games yesterday.
I think he may have been the Miami-Ohio State game. That may have been him.
Where did we
see? Or was it yesterday? You people would know that.
Kevin Marr was at the Rose Bowl. Thank God.
Blowout.
Like, it didn't matter. The refs didn't impact the game.
No, he was. Yeah. That was the group. That's where I saw that group.
Yeah, it was.
I got up early to watch the Rose Bowl parade.
You did?
Of course I was watching the Rose Bowl parade. And my grandson over here, we're checking out all the roses, the floats. Magic Johnson was like the king of the ball or whatever they have. The Grand Marshal was Magic Johnson.
You better keep him away from the kid.
That age.
Yeah, thank you very much, Donald Sterling. I've never watched the Rose Parade in my life.
No?
I don't even know what happens there. Is it just like the Thanksgiving parade?
It's the same. Yeah, it's just a big parade. That thing starts early, too. I think starts like when the sun comes up there because a game seemed like it was on early.
It was 3 p.m. Central Time. Obviously, you had the 11 a.m. kick between Texas Tech and Oregon. Texas Tech, we're still waiting for them to show up. The game started at 11 yesterday, Red Raiders. Yeah. Not sure if y'all are aware of that.
They stayed on the bus for a little extra sleep.
I mean, it's January 1st. Like, I'm usually sleeping and or hungover during the Rose Parade, so I'm not waking up early to watch a bunch of floats and flowers. I'm out.
No, you're
that.
Not.
Yeah, can't do that.
Jordan McGuire's guys never got up.
Well, yeah, like, how great of a bowl season has this been for Texas? Obviously disappointed that the Longhorns didn't make the playoff. That's well documented, and that will never change. But, I mean, Oklahoma, A&M, and Texas Tech all collapsing in their first playoff game. Georgia collapsing in its first playoff game. Ohio State losing in its first playoff game.
Everybody can beat Ohio State. Can Texas beat Ohio State? That's the deal.
Not everybody can beat Ohio State.
Come on, man. Everybody can beat them.
They were 12-2 this year.
Their quarterback's a pick machine now. All of a sudden, he has to throw a pick that goes the other way for the last 4 weeks of the season.
Well, look, I mean, Texas, we know those teams can be beat. So you got to beat them when you get to play them.
You can actually beat Georgia.
I did enjoy watching all of those teams go down. I mean, obviously Oklahoma blowing that 17-0 lead in their playoff game. A&M failing to score a touchdown in their playoff game. Texas Tech failing to score a point. I mean, I was good enough with OU and A&M's meltdowns, but to see Tech do that yesterday, are you kidding me?
Man, oh, man.
The football gods shining down.
I love the way Indiana stuck it to Bama. You know, they were looking for more points last. They're about to try to run that thing into the 40s. If they would have had more time, they would have gone for it too. They looked like they were trying to roll up a bunch of points against the Crimson Tide.
That was stunning to see. I mean, I should buy into Indiana at this point, right? Like, I don't know what it is. I know what it is. It's their logo. It's who they are. I can't buy into them, but they.
You're going to buy into them against Oregon. They already took care of them once this year.
They're the best team that's left. Obviously, they're the highest seeded team. I mean, they were the number one seed going into this tournament, so it's not that hot of a take. But, I mean, yeah, they had no problem with Alabama. Alabama just, they just existed yesterday. Like, they didn't put up a fight at all.
No.
That was a beat
sort of like down. They sort of like they ended the end of the year. They just were barely escaping. They couldn't run the ball a lick. And yesterday, they couldn't run any ball. They couldn't do a thing.
Oh, my God. And Indiana is just.
Like I said, I'm watching three teams with their two played in the playoffs and one didn't. Yeah. Texas, Oklahoma, and Alabama without a running back. Just doesn't sound right.
Right. No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. And give Indiana their flowers. I mean, that is a complete football team.
Well, they got two running backs.
They are so well coached. I don't know what the weakness on that team is. Like, they do everything right. Obviously, they have the Heisman winner at quarterback, but they've got great running backs. They've got a really good offensive line. They got difference makers on the outside. I mean, their defense, they held Alabama to just 3 points yesterday, forced a couple of turnovers. Bama benched their quarterback, Ty Simpson, midway through the second half. Like, and Bama could not get anything going.
And is that the dude they're going to roll out next year at quarterback?
Yeah, I think so, because Ty Simpson's off to the NFL.
Yeah,
so.
that dude is going to get that coach fired, yeah, unless he makes a big jump.
Yeah, that was not a very good showing by the Alabama backup, Austin Mack, yesterday. No. But, man, the Hoosiers, just what a game by them. That was never close. And watching Indiana do that to Alabama in football is just mind-boggling to me. And it's new blood in the Final Four. I mean, Indiana's never won a national championship. Oregon's never won a national championship. Ole Miss has never won an outright national championship. Now, Miami's got the most history of any of those programs, but it's been since 2001 since they've won a title. So,
yeah, and I'm not counting them out from what I saw.
No, I think any team. I mean, look, we talked about it, and it came to fruition, right? This felt like a pretty open year in college football. It didn't feel like there was a super dominant team in the country, and we felt like there were some opportunities for some other teams to maybe get in the mix here, and that has happened. So I think all four of these teams, again, Indiana's the favorite. They should be the favorite. They've been the best of the bunch, and they're the only undefeated team that's alive. But
you know, whoever comes out of that bracket, I think, wins it, including Oregon, if they can beat Indiana. I think that's going to be the winner.
Yeah, Indiana and Oregon, those are your highest two seeds left. They play each other in one semi, and then Ole Miss and Miami. Did anybody have that on their brackets?
No, I didn't.
I mean, I had Georgia winning it all going into the playoff, and God, what a game last night that was. I mean, the back and forth between Trinidad Chambliss, one of the best stories in college football this year, was a D2 player a year ago, and he was a backup at the start of the year in Oxford. He and Gunnar Stockton going back and forth. I mean, those guys, just blow for blow. It was a heavyweight fight between those two QBs last night.
See the long pass Gunnar Stockton threw and got hit? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was surprised that dude got up after that.
Yeah.
Oh, and they didn't even go to – generally they like to – let's go to the monitor. You hit our quarterback. You hit my quarterback too hard. Let's go talk about this. Is this targeting or not? He took it right to the chest. It was – I said, oh, I don't know if he's getting up after that, because I could see that guy coming. I said, oh, he's going to let this go, but he's going to get punished for it. Boy, that dude can take a hit.
Yeah, and revenge for Ole Miss, of course, who lost to Georgia in the regular season. And Ole Miss, you know, they had a lead in the fourth quarter in that regular season game. And Trinidad Chambliss, and really just everybody on Ole Miss, they collapsed in the fourth quarter. They did the exact opposite of collapsing in the fourth quarter yesterday, outscoring Georgia 20-10 to overcome a deficit and get that win. A weird ending.
Their back is a difference maker at Mississippi. That guy, he's long. You know, he makes guys miss. And when you have to tackle him, he's always going forward. He's one of those leaners that gets you like 3 yards on contact. I mean, he just reaches out and he goes another yard and a half or so. He looks tall. And I don't even know if he's that tall. I mean, is he 6 foot or is he 6'2"?
5'11".
Yeah, I mean, but he runs really tall.
Yeah, he's a great player, Kawan Lacy. He's actually from Dallas, started his career at Missouri, transferred to Ole Miss this year.
He wasn't even playing, I heard, at Missouri.
Yeah, didn't play at Mizzou. I mean, had 23 carries as a freshman in 2024. Transfers to Ole Miss and about 23 touchdowns and counting. Man. Second in the country for Lacy, who had two of them yesterday.
He was missing at the end of the year for them. He was hurt, and now he's healthy again.
Yeah, he's a really good player. And you know, obviously, Ole Miss doing this without Lane Kiffin. That's the big story. Who left? That's the best team Ole Miss has had. He said that before the playoff. This is the first time they've ever made the playoff. And Lane Kiffin, the controversial decision to leave. Obviously, Ole Miss said he could not coach in the CFP. And Pete Golding, who's not the interim coach, by the way, like, he is the permanent full-time coach for Ole Miss, and he will be the guy beyond this season. What a start to his head coaching career with two playoff wins, including the upset over Georgia.
Now I wonder what some of that offensive staff that was, you know, thinking someone may be headed to LSU even before this next game. He may have got them off to a good start and may be gone. I wonder how many of those guys that Golden is talking to about, hey, you want to stay? Here's how much money we can pony up.
Well, most of them have already signed contracts with LSU.
They have. They've actually signed with LSU.
Yeah. So they're going to coach, you know, the rest of the playoff with Ole Miss. But when the run is over, they'll all be, I don't know about all.
Yeah, but Lane Kiffin is the guy I'm thinking to pull a rug out of him, given that little bit of pressure. Hey, we need you. We're in recruiting. We're in the portal. We need you back here. I wonder if they're going to be able to go. Well, it's only a week from now that they play. It's not like it's a month from now.
Right. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it would be a very Lane Kiffin thing to do.
Wouldn't it be him to say, I need you on the plane.
Yeah.
You know, after the game, we got to do some things. We got to meet as a staff here. I need you for this staff meeting. Wouldn't that be just like him to say, here by Saturday, on Sunday, we're having a meeting. Well, I was like, yeah, okay, Lane, fine. You go, you know that private jet you've been flying in? Send it to pick me up. I'll be at the airport.
Yeah, I think that's happening. I mean, I think, you know, Charlie Weiss Jr., who's the offensive coordinator, right, who took the LSU job and is still coaching Ole Miss right now, like, I think he's recruiting for LSU. You know, he's going to be coming up with a game plan for Ole Miss to try to beat Miami next weekend, and also probably having conversations with some players in the portal to try to get them to go to LSU.
Trying to get a quarterback, yeah.
It's just a bizarre situation. It's been a pretty bizarre year. It's a bizarre time in college football.
Chambliss, does he have eligibility too?
Yeah, I think so.
Two more years, right?
No, definitely not multiple years. I think he could play one more year. Actually, I don't know. I know he was trying and fighting to play for one more year. I don't know if there's ever been a ruling about his.
Well, he can get another one, but he can't get two. I mean, the second one would be a fifth year.
Well, he's 23 years old, Buck.
Oh.
He started playing college football in 2021. This is his fifth year of college football, as it is. So I think he's one of those guys who's fighting to try to get eligibility for the 2026 season. Maybe someone can correct me and correct us on that. But
well, I don't think it'll be at Mississippi.
Yeah, they're going to have to pony up.
Yes, they will. And somebody will pony up to get that dude.
Yeah, and what a game. And Kirby Smart, look, Kirby Smart's bold. I mean, the fake punt was incredible, right? That decision and that execution when the momentum was starting to flip Ole Miss's way. You know, Georgia calls a fake punt on like a 4th and 5 from deep in their own territory. They get it. They end up kicking a field goal on that drive to extend their lead. But a little bit later in the game, he went for it on another 4th down, left his offense on the field deep in Georgia territory. They didn't get it. And Ole Miss turned that into a touchdown, and that helped the Rebels get a win. So Kirby Smart feels like he has the Midas touch more often than not in those big moments. He got a little too greedy, and it cost his team yesterday.
That fake punt was awesome.
Fake punt was awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's just what he does. Texas, unfortunately, has seen that from Kirby Smart. Feels like he dials those up at the best possible times, and that one really worked. But again, the turnover on downs, just a very interesting decision for Kirby Smart yesterday. And credit Pete Golding. I mean, he out-coached the best coach in America yesterday. And it's just crazy that teams with the first-round bye are now 1-7 in the college football playoff. Maybe that just shows how good Indiana is, that they're able to overcome the rust from not playing for like a month. But I thought Georgia and Ohio State. So
they got really good fundamentals, you know, and leverage and everything else. They just have it.
They're so well coached. They are so well coached. I mean, it's already the best turnaround in college football history. Indiana's, you know, when Kurt Cignetti got there, they were the losingest program in FBS history.
That's right.
And so the fact that they made the playoff last year was already remarkable. And then they follow it up with a Big Ten title and a playoff this year. Like, that's enough. But now they're 2 wins away from a national championship. And Cignetti was talking about how good of a movie their story would be. He's absolutely right. You know, the longtime loser turning into a champion. I mean, that's made for Hollywood stuff right there.
You know, those people are so out of their minds just to be at the Rose Bowl.
Oh, my God.
You're a Big Ten team, and you're at the Rose Bowl before all of this took place. That's just the place that you want to be. That was unbelievable.
That was Indiana's first bowl win. Just any bowl. Not playoff or BCS. Their first bowl win since 1991. I wasn't alive in 1991. They won the Copper Bowl that year. It's not a thing anymore. They beat Baylor 24-0.
Oh, yeah.
Baylor, of course, in the Southwest Conference at that time. It was the last bowl win of any kind for Indiana before yesterday, and they win the freaking Rose Bowl, and they are in the Final Four. Amazing.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun to watch. A team just coached so well the way they played.
I mean, I think anybody who doesn't root for the Crimson Tide was rooting for that yesterday.
Yes. My goodness.
You like the close games, of course, the epic finishes, but anytime a team like Alabama can get blown out like that, that's kind of fun.
They blew them out, too. And
man. By Indiana, like, whew, that's even better. Icing on the cake right there. So there you go. We'll talk more about the playoff in hour two. Obviously, more on Texas's win over Michigan. We've got some sound from the head coach, some sound from Arch Manning. We'll talk about the Longhorns portal plans, a bit of a surprise. I think Longhorn fans on a high with that win on the 31st, but kind of brought back to reality last night with the Parker Livingston transfer news. We'll get into that in a moment. But first, Buck, before anything else, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, you know, I've been searching for the right support for my back for years and years, and I've found it now for years and years. Thanks to our friends over at Relax the Back. They embrace a holistic approach for a healthier lifestyle based on 35 years, folks, of proven expertise. And my back couldn't be happier. Now, you can transform your life and your routine by heading over to Relax the Back. They've got the great massage chair, the zero-gravity recliners, adjustable mattress sets, Tempur-Pedic pillows and mattresses, and two great locations, one at the Hill Country Gallery across from Whole Foods and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center right across the street from the Container Store. Find an accessory that's going to help you feel great in 2026 at Relax the Back.
Yes, indeed. Love Relax the Back, and also love our friends at Covert Bee Cave. If you are in the market for a new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, how about that for a New Year's resolution? Check out our friends at Covert Bee Cave.
You see Covert everywhere. It's that personal level of just feeling like it's a personal family interaction.
The customer service, it's impeccable. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced buying a car.
Over the 30 years that I've been buying cars from them, I feel like I know them and they know me.
Covert's done an amazing job of making me feel valued. If you purchase a vehicle and you want to feel like you're part of a family, join the Covert family.
Come and experience it for yourself.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
And of course, the day for me to go on over to Daymaker's Half Day Cafe, I'm going to have breakfast over there, BK. I'm going to get there and have myself a short stack with some Migas. And I'm going to pour it down with a nice glass of orange juice. Hey, with ice. I want you to waste the ice on me. But if you want to have a great meal, they're open from 7 to 3. They're not open for dinner. They're open for, you can have lunch at brunch or brunch at lunch. You can have whatever you want. Burger, if you want to have a cheeseburger early in the morning, you can. And everything is quality foods, locally owned and operated by the group that Jack Allen's and, of course, Salt Traders. That place is fantastic. What a great place to have breakfast. Plus, if you want to get that mimosa to start out your new year, you can have the mimosa there if you like. You could have had that at 7 a.m. if you'd like to, but I'm going short stack and Migas this morning. The big man's going to get big. Starting us all on the 2nd. That's right.
You think you can house both of those things?
No, you know, you and I had a little breakfast at Jim's the other day. And I saw the Migas plate that they threw at you. I'm like, there is no way. Did you finish that entire plate?
Oh, yeah.
No problem. I looked at that. I said, I can't. That's just too much. The whole plate is like from every corner. There was stuff like hanging off the corners. It was packed. And I need one that's just a little bit more compact, especially if I'm going to do a short stack with that.
I was going to say, like Daymaker, they don't skimp on the portions now.
No, they don't skimp on the portion. They don't definitely with the pancakes. But then again, I say short stack. Generally, I'll have one pancake the size of a plate and call it quits.
Boom.
And there that's the man, Daymakers, they've got some great food, great drinks, great atmosphere. You know, they're big time Longhorn folks over there. They're also big time. They love baseball over at Daymakers. Got a group of management over there that love the baseball team. So hopefully we continue doing our work with Daymaker's Half Day Cafe.
Yeah, great smash burger too. Check
that
out.
Yeah, you're a big burger guy there, yeah.
Oh, and everyone's trying their hand at a smash burger these days. Not everybody should be trying their hand at a smash burger these days, but Daymaker, man, one of the best in the city, no question. Shout out to them. Also, shout out to Altstadt Beer.
They're the best.
The best beer that you could find in the great state of Texas. And look, New Year's resolutions, you're going to be drinking beer in 2026, all right? But Here's what separates Altstadt from some of the other beers that you were drinking last year. Altstadt is brewed without preservatives, without additives, without any sugars. Like, Altstadt beer actually has an expiration date. Some beers you can keep in your fridge for 15 years and there's so much crap in there that it's not going to go bad. And if you want to be putting that in your system, be my guest. But when you do, you're going to be feeling a lot worse later in the day or the next day. With Altstadt, you don't have that because it's brewed cleanly without those unnecessary ingredients. But more importantly, the taste. That's why we like beer. The taste of the beer. They've got a bunch of different brews, something for every beer drinker out there. And a lot of their beers are award winners. So it's not just me, some guy on a podcast telling you about the greatness of Altstadt beer. People who get paid to drink beer for a living. What a job that is. They are heaping the praise of Altstadt. Our job is easy. We just go to the store and buy it and drink it and enjoy it. Get you some for your weekend coming up. Beautiful weekend here in Central Texas. Whatever you have going on, make sure you accompany your good times with the greatness that is Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets.
And of course, our friends over at Sue Patrick since 1975, the incredible selection of Texas Longhorn apparel, collectibles, accessories, and more. Tons of Texas-themed gifts and items, books, the whole works. And I'm sure Jay will have some sales that he had gear in 2025 that he's ready to get rid of, because the new 2026 hats and caps and polos are going to be coming out very soon at Sue Patrick's. Plenty of parking space at 5222 Burnett Road. And no, Jay, I did not like seeing Lane Kiffin holding the hands of my girl. I'm very upset about that. So I will not be attending her basketball game when she comes here. No, I'm not. I'm upset. I'm very hurt. She's got a lot of nerve holding hands with. But that little twerpy guy, he's a little man. I'm the big man. She's walking around holding hands with that dude. That guy's slick. She better be careful. That guy, he's kind of handsy, so she needs to be careful. But our good friends, we love them over at Sue Patrick's. 5222 Burnett Road for more information. By the way, my grandkids love the gear that they got. Little jackets, some hoodies for Christmas. I got them that. Jelly cats, the whole works. For more information, go to SuePatrick.com. But no, I'm not happy with her.
Texas women's basketball, they took care of Missouri yesterday. Oh, yeah. They will play at LSU on January 11th, so 9 days from now. That's a top five matchup as it stands in women's college hoops. But the return trip to Austin for Kim Mulkey, your girl, and LSU, Thursday night.
Hey, maybe she's not my girl.
February 5th. That's your chance to get her back. You're just going to let her go? You know what? I cut this up. Because we have to show the people here, all right? Obviously, Lane Kiffin, the new head coach at LSU. Kim Mulkey, been the head coach of the women's basketball team at LSU for a while. Here they are yesterday, walking out onto the court before LSU's women's game. Because they ain't playing in the playoff right now. Here they are, hand in hand, holding hands, Buck. Kim Mulkey.
Look at that dude walking around with a T-shirt on with his man breast. I mean, really? Come on, dude.
Oh, come on. He's rocking a T-shirt and jeans. He's not working. He's just there as a fan.
Come on, booby man. Get out of there.
He's got the V-neck going. The V-cut on the white T-shirt.
She's
blue jeans.
Taller than he is.
She's probably rocking some heels. Is she rocking some heels in this game? You know, she usually dresses to impress, and it was New Year's Day, so, you know, she's pulling out all the stops there.
Of course. I mean, last time, I mean, she's kind of flirty anyway. Remember when Ed Orgeron was the head coach? She was flirting around with Brutus the Buckeye-looking dude, too.
She was hooking up with a mascot?
Well, no. I mean, Ed Orgeron looks like Brutus the Buckeye. Yeah.
Oh, with Ed. Oh, man. I this has to hurt you. No, this is your girl holding hands with another man's. Pointing at him, pumping up the crowd.
Oh, lifting his arm up.
Lifting his arm up, you know.
Can't wait.
That doesn't bother you. That's your crush right there with someone else.
She better be careful. He already has about it. He's been in that part of the country. He's got three crushes by now, at least. You know that.
Kim Mulkey is way too old for the Lane train.
You think so? Oh, yeah, he deals in youth, doesn't he?
Yeah, why do you think he left Ole Miss? It has nothing to do with the opportunity. It's he needs a new crop of co-eds to go after.
Because it's Ole Miss, that's why.
Joey Freshwater making a comeback in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Oh my God.
Come on, man.
That guy, wait till he gets in everybody's household selling his gear.
Yeah, he'll be selling something to the moms, that's for sure.
Yes.
Oh, my God. February 5th, just over a month, LSU at Texas at the Mood. It's your opportunity, Buck.
I'll send her a little email today and say I wasn't pleased about that.
All right. Well, that's let her know that you'll be showing up in a month with what, flowers, chocolates? What do you got?
I got her. Since I saw the Rose Parade, I got her a couple dozen red roses.
There you go. I like that. A couple dozen red roses. Oh, that'd be so great if you tried
to
rush.
She's starting to look like she's too easy, though.
Oh.
Yeah. She's giving her hand to Ed Orger, Buckeye-looking guy, Brutus the Buckeye, now to this twerpy-looking guy.
I don't remember her doing this with Brian Kelly. She must have been kicked out by that dude.
Yeah. How come she didn't bring him on the court?
Brian Kelly killed a kid, so maybe that's why she didn't want any part of that. Oh, my gosh. There you go. There's some fun for a Friday morning for you.
Man, oh, man.
That's awesome.